are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, August the 18th, and Joe Dumars back on the scene. Good for Joe. Happy for Joe. Joe, this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for staying with us during the pandemic. 2 days from now, relevant Pistons developments coming up with the draft lottery. But hey, the playoffs started. We're going to talk about that, including my day at Detroit's three sports books on Monday. We're also going to talk about Joe Dumars and his new job and how it all came to be. We're also going to defend the indefensible with Joe Dumars later, why the Darko pick wasn't the worst pick of all time. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give a follow to the new Play_Michigan Twitter account as well. That's for the gig. Let's get that up in the rankings so more people can see my stuff, and that makes me happy. So the playoffs started on Monday. As you know, as you don't know, maybe, the Detroit casinos have reopened and now are functioning their retail sports books. There's also tribal casino sports books at some of them across the state. The three Four Winds facilities in Southwest Michigan, the flagship casino in New Buffalo, and also Dowagiac and Hartford as well. The Firekeepers Casino in Battle Creek, that is open with a retail sports book, and Little River Casino in Manistee, up Lake Michigan coast, that has a sports book as well. The Traverse City area casinos, Turtle Creek and Leelanau Sands up on the peninsula, the Leelanau Peninsula, those are coming soon. Those are going to be William Hill sports books. No word on any of the Upper Peninsula sports book launch dates. No word on Soaring Eagle yet, but those ones will be coming soon. Odawa up in Petoskey as well, and Gun Lake and Wayland. Waiting to hear from some of the other casinos across the state. But my job is writing about sports gambling throughout the day, so I bit the bullet for you guys and for the readers of PlayMichigan.com. Check out a story I wrote of my first-person account of going along with brother Brian to a bunch of the three sports books in Detroit for the first day of the NBA playoffs. Enjoyable time. Obviously, wear the mask. If you're not comfortable being in crowds anyway, no skin off your back. Stay home and enjoy the basketball. We will have online sports books. You can get those apps that will be regulated throughout the state starting this fall, something like October or November. They're working on the rulemaking process, but BetMGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, William Hill, PointsBet, some of the branded tribal casinos, the bigger ones like Soaring Eagle, Firekeepers, and Four Winds, are planning on putting out their own apps partnered with technology companies across the country as well, across the world, I should say. Barstool is going to come up with a sportsbook app that's going to launch here in Michigan as well. So exciting times for sports gambling, and you can read up on my experiences at Greektown, Motor City, and MGM on Monday afternoon up on the website PlayMichigan.com. Check out those stories. We appreciate the clicks and the interaction on social media as well. But as you know, Denver got the win against Utah in overtime despite 57 from Donovan Mitchell. My God. Luke Kennard, ooh, that's rough. But Toronto gets the blowout over Brooklyn there in the East, as well as Boston getting the win against the Philadelphia 76ers. Couldn't cover that 6.5-point spread. I'm going to give up on Philly one of these days. I know most of you smarter basketball fans have already given up on them. I guess I now officially, after losing money, losing a four-part parlay on Philadelphia that didn't even get to the final two parts of the parlay, that I think that's maybe when you lose money on a team, you think about them a little bit differently. But the Clippers got the win against Dallas despite 42 from Doncic. Luka in his playoff debut for the Dallas Mavericks. But we got the Bucks and the Magic, the 1:30 game tipping here in a little bit. I'm a little late on the podcast, as you know, just been a busy 48 hours or so. I guess it's, yeah, I covered the Tigers on Sunday, kind of screwed up my weekend a little bit. But Elvin Gentry also got fired. Some news from over the weekend from the New Orleans Pelicans, a former Pistons coach there. Gordon Hayward's hurt. Sounds like he's out for multiple weeks for Boston from an ankle injury that he suffered on Monday night. Bill Duffy, the super agent, might be joining the Sacramento front office. He denied it. Dumars is in charge of that. There's a lot of news out there. I mean, we don't want to – there's not too much that relates exactly to the Pistons, but I do want to point out for you guys as you're making your week plans here for later in the week, the lottery is at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday night, so before that 9 o'clock game, they'll have it on ESPN. We'll do a show fairly quickly after that lottery, drop that late Thursday night, and you can catch that one for Friday as well. Pistons, reminder, with a 42.1% chance of a top four pick and a 10.5% chance of getting that first pick. They could be slotted anywhere from number one to number nine in the order. So I did one spin just before the show got started, and they got third place in that. So really important to pass along our simulated spins. I know that I think the Free Press did a story a few, maybe sometime during the pandemic, that said, we did 100 spins and here's what happens. I don't like those stories. I don't understand why we do that. I get that, like, you do a spin and you can do like a mock draft that comes out of that. But to spin just to spin and to say, here's what we did, you know, the one spin has nothing to do with the next spin. I know you all know that. You're all smart enough here in the Locked On Pistons podcast world, but it's just strange to me when people spin to spin. Again, if it's the trigger to start a mock draft simulation, that makes sense to me. But to say, hey, we did 10 spins and here's what happened, I don't quite understand that. That being said, here's my – and I'm rolling with my crazy opinion. If you listen to the show, you know that as time has gone on, I was really vanilla when I started hosting the show with my opinions and analysis. But as time goes on, we're just dropping the hot takes over and over again. We got one for the third segment coming up later on today. But my hot take for this lottery is that as the Pistons fan in me wants the Pistons to not win the lottery, to not get the number one pick, because you have a big chance of being kind of pressured as an organization to jump on the LaMelo Ball and or Anthony Edwards game. I don't mind Anthony Edwards as much as I do LaMelo Ball, by the way. Not crazy about either of them, certainly at number one or number two. When it gets down to value at like four or five, one of those guys might be available, I'd be open to doing that because you got to take that value pick. But, man, to say we're handing over the car keys to LaMelo Ball, or we are banking on the potential of Anthony Edwards in, you know, contrast to any kind of possible development and minutes that are going to be needed for him, in addition to Luke Kennard's, Fee Mikhailuk, and Bruce Brown, I feel like that would be a little problematic for a crowded backcourt. But anyway, given that I've come on the record and say that the number one pick is bad for the Pistons, I wanted to just share my quick order of preference. As a Pistons fan, here are the nine possible picks that they could end up with. This is very unscientific, and I just kind of threw it together as I was starting to do some show prep here. But here's my official order for the nine slots that I think Pistons fans should be rooting for. The number one pick that I would take would be number three. I think the Pistons fans should want number three. They can get their best player available after hopefully Ball and Edwards are off the board. And I go down from there. So in this order, here are the numbers that I would want the Pistons to get as a Pistons fan here in the lottery. Number three being the best one. Number four being the second best one. Still get a player you really want. The lottery slot is a little better than three. The third number, and I know this is absurd as I even say the ranking of picks that I want the Pistons to get. The third number is five, so we can kind of keep going down the list a little bit at this point. And we go all the way down to number six for the fourth best number, fourth best scenario, in my opinion, for the Pistons to draft. Six, you're still getting one of those really good players. The salary slot is even better, but you might miss out on that guy you might have picked at three, four, and five. So now you're kind of taking some settling, which is a bad thing for this team. So for the fifth highest pick, and again, I laugh as I say this because it's a little absurd, but the fifth best option for the Pistons pick, I'm going to go up to number two for that, just because as you go down past six to seven, eight, nine, you're missing out on prospects. You're not maybe getting the type of player that the front office believes is a difference maker. You're losing out on some guys that obviously you had ranked highly at that point. So I will go with number two with the idea that LaMelo is probably going to go at number one. So you're still, you know, blocking yourself from doing that. Again, unscientifically, the sixth best option for me will go to number seven there, because you could, I still feel like there's seven good players on your board. And hopefully if you're picking seven, it's something like your fourth or fifth player on your board that's still available. After that, I will go with number one. The number one pick is the seventh best on my rankings of possible picks the Pistons want because it's still the number one pick. You get what you want. Hopefully the front office values the kind of things that I value, but we'll see. You get your pick of these players because as you go down to eight and nine, which by the way, eight is my eighth best option and nine is my ninth best option. So I'm not as insane as I sound. I do think getting eight and nine, the two last picks of the possibilities for Pistons picks, those are the two worst case scenarios, falling all the way down to eight and nine, not getting a very quality player, not being able to trade down for much if that's something in the wheelhouse as well as something to keep in mind. Number one, number two, even number three, maybe there's some possibilities that you could trade down. I don't know how feverishly people are going to be wanting to snatch those picks up, but certainly with guys like Edwards and Ball and even Wiseman out there, there's a chance you could lure teams in to get that pick. So that's my absurd order for preferential for the Pistons. I had to throw some lottery content together, so that's it there. But speaking of lotteries, Joe Dumars is back in the lottery with his team. New team, well, old team, but promotion to that. We're going to talk about that coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about DoorDash. What a product. Well, what a company for these times, these challenging times, these trying times. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now right to your door. Ordering could not be any easier. You get your credit card loaded in there. You don't have to worry about that each time. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, and I know we got listeners in all those places, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle. God, Chipotle doesn't deliver to the city of Detroit, by the way, just in case, or to me anyway, downtown. It's just too far away. But I think there's one coming to the Jefferson East side there. So looking forward to that. But anyway, Wendy's and the Cheesecake Factory, as I delve off script a little bit here. Many of your local favorite restaurants are still open for delivery. Support them. Open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities that we operate safe as well. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and no deliveries on your first, no delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And speaking of sponsors that I can't get enough of, Built Bar is back. I'm going to be receiving some more freebies from these guys down the road. And I'm telling you, I have been paying with my own money for other ones after I get a couple of samples. And this round will certainly be the same for me as well. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. 18 flavors now, including 6 new ones. Here's the new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake. Can you even imagine? Carrot cake and apple almond crisp as well. 100% chocolate covering these bars, soft and easy to chew as well. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy, just like, yeah, me. I guess I'm one of those guys now, even though it's sporadic in its results. Lose or maintain weight while indulging a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. All the macros you need. Great for the keto diet as well, which I do recommend. Free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Good stuff. Be quick if you want to get that cooler. But go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah.
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to do it. We're going to defend the indefensible, and maybe I'm losing my mind. Maybe my opinions are getting crazier and weirder as time goes on, but we're going to do it. We're going to defend the indefensible about Joe Dumars. Not really defend it, but say that the Darko pick wasn't the worst one ever. In honor of Joe Dumars taking over in Sacramento, I guess this news broke on Friday, but weekend came, and then we had the pre-taped Delete 8 mock draft, which you should check out on Monday. Getting some flack for the surprise pick at number two that I made, but that's how it is right now. Maybe I'm struggling. But really happy for Joe Dumars. Of course, this took way too long. Of course, the Darko stain always kind of will live on in his legacy, unfortunately. But Joe Dumars, much more good than bad with the red, white, and blue, and green, and teal, or whatever, burgundy, whatever the colors were, for that stretch at the end of his career as well. Won titles with the Pistons, if you don't remember that, two times as the Bad Boys number two, and also an executive winning the championship in 2004, running the squad there. And probably most importantly for his resume, earlier this pandemic, we called him the most influential Piston of all time. After the 64-person bracket for that, Terry Foster helped out with the finals of that. We appreciate him. And now, Joe Dumars is charged with setting up the front office of the Sacramento Kings. He's the interim executive of interim executive vice president of basketball operations. A mouthful there. A lot of the information that I'm going to pass along here comes from the Sam Amick and Jason Jones article from The Athletic, and notes that the Kings are expected to take their time to set up their new front office. Does that sound familiar? I do hope that Joe Dumars takes some notes from Ed Stefanski and gives himself a couple nice years of control before moving up, giving himself a promotion, and hiring someone to be the new decision maker when things get really tough. Now, Sacramento's a little bit different of a position than Detroit, of course, seemingly on the way up, although slowly, and you're not really sure that this is the right way because a little shaky foundation of young players to build upon, but further along than the Pistons, who have clearly a much worse cast of young players, but are earlier in their rebuild. So there's a chance to get a couple of those cornerstones going forward, in theory, with some high picks this year, possibly next, and we'll see how things go in the future. Now, I'm not saying that the Sacramento is the gold standard for what's right and normal in the league. Certainly that's probably the opposite of the actual case. But I'll say this, to maybe Detroit's credit, and maybe Sacramento has taken a little bit of notes from what happened in Detroit with Ed Stefanski, good, bad, or indifferent. But if Joe Dumars is in charge of this organization for the next 2 years and then hires a GM after that and then moves up to the corner office, the Stefanski as it's known, then I will give the Pistons a bit of an apology for ripping their process these last couple years. Again, this is Sacramento. They're not the standard bearers. But if this kind of thing becomes the norm, that, hey, we're just going to hand it off to a veteran, proven GM and available old GM and let him kind of run the show for multiple seasons and then hand it off to someone after that and say, job well done, here's your raise in your corner office, hey, I guess I'd have to apologize and say the Pistons are trendsetters in that way. For Joe Dumars' sake, I will say it sucks that this has to be Sacramento. It kind of goes without saying, but Vivek, you know, working for him. Vlade Divac stepped down to create this opportunity. Of course, it wasn't that simple. But Vivek, apparently, according to the Athletic article, Ranadive, I believe is how to pronounce his last name, the owner of the Sacramento Kings, apparently went to Vlade after the season ended this year and said, hey, we want to keep you around, but we got to make some major changes and give Dumars final say. Dumars was working as an advisor during this role. And by the way, don't cry for Vlade. Three more seasons of pay, according to the Athletic article. So not so bad for him. But I guess on the surface, you know, kind of a power struggle, undercutting situation. And you might say on the surface that this is a little bit fishy of Joe Dumars, a little politics in the office kind of thing. I will defend Joe Dumars in this case, though, from what we know about what's been reported and what we know about Vlade as a general manager. I don't think Joe Dumars is a snake, certainly doesn't have that reputation in the past, and no reason to believe that. Instead, I'm going to say that Joe Dumars did his job as an advisor, and job well done if one of your recommendations was to not have Vlade Divac running the Kings unchecked anymore. You know, the word over the years is that Vlade is probably, I don't know, the worst front office lead in the NBA, incompetent. Teams reportedly don't like dealing with Sacramento. Reportedly, not a lot of pre-draft workouts as well, which are now the norm and certainly thought to be no harm and certainly some benefits for the franchise to have players into your place face-to-face and make these picks, especially when you have high important picks. Taking players that are important to the team. Vlade says, you know, we didn't give DeMarcus Cousins the big extension. We ended up getting De'Aaron Fox in that draft, and that's got us moving in a positive direction. That was his argument to keep his final say on personnel matters going forward. So he wasn't interested in any kind of arrangement with Joe Dumars, and he moved on. So, again, reports were that Vlade you couldn't get good assistant general managers to work under Vlade because people thought that they were more capable than Vlade. So who wants to work for a boss that you feel you're better in? And I mean, it's not quite that simple. Sometimes we all have to do stuff like that and have done it and all that. But that's just how the world works sometimes. But again, isn't this Joe's job as an advisor to recommend Vlade's firing, maybe even undercut him a little bit in the power structure in the process? But now, however you feel about that and however you should feel about that, Joe Dumars is in charge. We'll see who he brings aboard. We'll see what kind of offseason. Again, I believe that based on the reporting that he's probably going to have one offseason this year to make those decisions. I would imagine by the time they draft next year in a normal world, based on the reporting, based on the things we hear and read, you would think that a new person would be brought in by the draft next year. That's just my opinion, and I would think that if that was the arrangement, then that should have been the case and would have been the case with the Pistons to be expected for Stefanski in that time, but that's not how it went down. Anyway, we'll see who Dumars brings aboard. Scott Perry's name, of course, is out there first. Former Pistons executive under Joe Dumars and former Kings executive under Vlade Divac while Joe Dumars was around as well. Maybe his power was taken a little bit away when Leon Rose came to the Knicks. Scott is still with the Knicks, so maybe there's a reunion interested there. Obviously, a decent young core for the Kings. Anytime you have De'Aaron Fox, it's a good start. Marvin Bagley, still talented, still some usefulness there, but injury-riddled again in the bubble here as well. 3-5 for them in Orlando. Bogdanovich off the bench for them. Buddy Hield, big question marks there. Certainly some usable talent at the very least. Harrison Barnes is out there with the deal. So, there's some pieces. This is not a wasteland, but of course it's Sacramento. But, you know, the rumor started when Joe Dumars started going to games with Vivek in the bubble, and people thought the dynamic was shifting, and it became official and final last week as Joe Dumars retakes the reins. But, of course, Joe and Sacramento and Vlade and Marvin Bagley and Darko brought up some old scabs for Pistons fans that people are talking about now. And we will talk about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, got to also proudly tell you guys about Rock Auto. We got some numbers from them. You guys have responded. I know there's some of you out there who haven't. So if you haven't, you enjoy this show, you enjoy supporting our sponsors, go to rockauto.com. The convenient self-service. They got everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver or just your car, because you got one of them, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog, it's unique and remarkably easy to navigate as well. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, those prices. RockAuto.com, they're always reliably low. And the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. I promise you'll find something. Go ahead and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that we know we sent you. Appreciate you guys that have done that, and keep it going if you're a loyal listener as well. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Well, you knew that it would be coming, the Darko jokes, after a saga involving Vlade Divac and Joe Dumars and Vivek and Darko and Marvin Bagley. Easy to draw the parallels between the Marvin Bagley pick and the Darko Milicic pick. And look, there's a difference between process and results, right? We know that about front offices and professional sports. And results-wise, I'm willing to submit that, well, actually, results-wise plus process, Darko's up there with one of the worst picks of all time. Results-wise, you know, Sam Bowie is up there. I know injuries are a whole different deal. Although one could argue that Darko's broken hand at the end of his rookie year, while not the foot injuries that Sam Bowie had throughout his years, not as quite as debilitating lengthwise and reoccurrence-wise. It was an important time for Darko to have that bad injury when he was coming off of that rookie season. The Pistons were coming off the championship. But anyway, and then, sadly, Len Bias. You know, the results for a guy who was dead a few days after being drafted highly by the Boston Celtics, I believe 1986. The results there are terrible, too. Circumstances, tragic ones. And unfortunately, that was the bust of busts, you could say, for the Boston Celtics there. We'll move on from that. But process-wise, I want to go back to 2003. you know, the mixed messages now, 17 years later, about who, you know, what teams would have taken Darko number two. Certainly there were other teams. Was it five other teams or 25 other teams? Maybe we don't know that. We do also know that Joe Dumars, to his credit to some extent, played the media very well. The tampering rules leak to Adrian Wojnarowski, most famously, and also Chad Ford of ESPN. I think he's still carrying water for the Darko decision. Obviously, Chad Ford had a very good relationship with Joe Dumars. And Chad Ford back then, and Adrian Wojnarowski back then to a lesser extent, because Woj wasn't quite Woj back then, but Joe Dumars had an eye for finding media talent. You know, he got behind the right guys, got the good graces of some of the right media people as well. So, and, you know, locally, Rob Parker was someone who was very close with Joe Dumars as well. A little bit of inside baseball there. But my point being that, and Breishan brought this up on Twitter over the weekend, saying that, making basically this point that I'm about to make, that the Darko pick wasn't as bad as the Marvin Bagley pick, for the biggest reason that, and Breishan, I'm pulling up the tweet right now, says it was only a slight reach, a project pick. He was expected to be a lottery pick. The whole league thought this guy had potential. In actual draft day 2003, this wasn't seen as absurd as it is now. Hindsight is 2020. Joe D was always a gambler. When he hit big, he hit big. Yeah, certainly he hit big on the six-year deal for Chauncey Billups, the trade of Jerry Stackhouse for Rip Hamilton, salvaging the Grant Hill trade, getting Ben Wallace and rolling the dice with Rasheed Wallace as well, and then the drafting of Tayshaun Prince at like 19, 20, 21, whatever that was, a nice pick too. Obviously, Darko, famously, you know, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony right after him, not in that order. And then Marvin Bagley, you got Luka Doncic, you got Trae Young, in Jaren Jackson Jr., one of the strongest draft, really parallel type of drafts because they're both so strong. And but the problem with Bagley at the time is everyone knew it, right? Everyone knew, and myself included. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying that even a fuddy-duddy like me, even a guy like me who maybe doesn't love the foreign prospects as much as the consensus does, even I understood Luka Doncic to be the best player in that draft, better than Trae Young, better than Jaren Jackson, better than DeAndre Ayton, certainly better than Marvin Bagley. So it was a no-brainer at the time and is a no-brainer still. And even if it was Trae Young instead of Marvin Bagley, if there was some baggage between Vlade back in Europe and the perception of Luka Doncic, whatever personal situations were happening there, because you would think, you know, Eastern European like Vlade Divac would be more willing and more excited to take a Luka Doncic type. Man, it certainly did not work out that way. But yeah, my opinion is that Marvin Bagley certainly will probably end up going down as a better player than Darko Milicic. And the group of Jaren Jackson Jr., Luka Doncic, and Trae Young probably won't quite reach the heights of Carmelo, Bosch, and Wade, although I'm not ruling out it could be, especially with Luka on the trajectory that he's on. Maybe he ends up being a top 10 all-time type of player as well. I mean, a lot to be said there, but yeah, so that's my opinion. I agree with Breishan, who had the original thought on Twitter this weekend, backing up that opinion, saying, defending the indefensible, saying that Darko, although one of the worst picks in sports history, not as bad as picking Marvin Bagley over specifically Luka Doncic, but also Trae Young, Jaren Jackson Jr., etc., etc., after that. But that'll do it for the show. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Lottery coming up in a couple days. And be sure to tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a good one. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.